Pennsylvania's Act 54 is the 1994 amendment to the state's mining law, providing for the protection and restoration of water supplies affected by mining and for structural damage to buildings and homes above mined land. It also requires an assessment every 5 years of how the law is being implemented. A report was recently released and looks at the 5-year time period 2013 to 2018. I spoke to the report's lead author, Daniel Bain, at his office at the University of Pittsburgh. He's an assistant professor of geology and environmental science there.
You looked at 49 active underground bituminous coal mines, which represent an undermined 28,000 acres of Pennsylvania. 62% of the acres are classified as longwall mining, but just 7 of the mines are longwall mines. So before we get into the report findings, can you explain just a little bit the difference between longwall mines and the other two types of mines that are mentioned in the report?
Sure. In this assessment period, there's basically 3 types of mining that we're looking at. There's the longwall mining, room and pillar mining, and pillar removal. So we'll start with room and pillar mining. You have rooms, but you're leaving a large amount of coal there to hold the ceiling in place. And then pillar removal is a mining technique where, in some cases, you're able to go back in and remove some of those pillars so you can take additional coal resource out of the ground. And in longwall mining, you remove the entire seam. You remove an area that's, you know, up to a half mile wide, a mile or two long, and you take all of the coal out. So in longwall mining, it's a given that you're going to have subsidence. You take that much material out. The rock behind what they call the face, where you're cutting the coal out, is going to collapse. And that collapse is going to propagate up through the rocks until you hit, you know, the surface. And so you can have significant amounts of subsidence in this region, you know, feet of subsidence in the middle of your room. The room is the rectangle that you're longwalling.
When I think of subsidence, I think of sinking.
Correct. You have a really gentle curved line. It's, if you know where to look for it, you can sometimes see it on the landscape, you know, particularly where the roads are, you can see it. It's basically the land surface sinks and the areas around the longwall panel stay in place, so you basically have a dip in the middle.
So were there significant changes in this 5-year period from the last report in the impacts of mining on structures, water supply, or the land itself? What was notable to you?
This is the second assessment report I've been involved in. The first one was the 5 years previous to that. And there were some differences this time in terms of the amount of coal mining. With the changes in the economics of coal, you know, right at the beginning of this assessment period, there are some dramatic shifts. A lot of room and pillar mines that were mining what's called thermal coal, or coal that you would use to fire turbines in an electrical generating unit or a power plant, closed. At the same time, there were some disruptions in the production of what's called metallurgical coal, or the coal you use to create coke. There was a peak in demand for that coal, so there were actually quite a few metallurgical coal mines that opened this period. You know, I would say that in terms of some things, we know how to fix things. You know, structures, we know how to address some of the complications that subsidence can occur. We've learned from decades of mining what's going to happen, so we can do things like excavate the dirt around the foundation, re-level on as the longwall face is moving underneath your property. The thing that happened during this period is back in about 2005, there was new technical guidance on the protection of surface water features. And this was the first assessment where we really started to see some of that data coming in. The things that impact streams are easy to see. You walk along a stream and all of a sudden you get to a pond that wasn't there a week ago. You know that there's been a change. You know that there's been an impact. So there's two big stream impacts. So there's the backing up where you get ponding. You know, in that area where we talked about before with the subsidence, where you have sinkage, where the coal is mined and it stays intact where it's not mined, that depression can create, in essence, a low head dam, or, you know, a small dam. There's a technique where they basically cut the rock out. It's called a gate cut. That technique works really well. There's a strong body of knowledge about how that works, and so we know how to fix ponding. The other thing that happens a lot is the loss of flow. That's generally in smaller streams further away from the main valleys. there we, you know, we've started to see in the last assessment, and it's continued in this assessment, a lot of grouting. So basically, in areas where you lose flow, it's because you've created cracks that allow the water to flow more or less underground. This technique uses cement, and a cement that expands, and you pump it into the ground, and that's meant to expand and close those cracks that have been created by the subsidence. And so in this period, we really started to be able to look at that in a way that hasn't been looked before.
In the report, you mentioned issues with data collection for streams or groundwater, wetlands, and also issues with software technology that sort of make it more difficult to analyze these things.
There's a number of things that are going on. There's reluctance to allow electronic submissions because of questions of what's an actual record and what has been stamped by, you know, the mining engineer, what's been stamped by the professional geologist. So
stamped on a piece of paper.
Yeah. So if you stamp a piece of paper, you know that's real. But if it's on a PDF, what if someone goes in and changes your portable document later? So that's a problem, and that needs a workaround. But in terms of how much work is done at DEP, there are fewer employees now than there were. So a lot of, you know, people look to industry, and you see that if you modernize your information systems and you give people more tools to do the job, fewer people can do the job. But the problem that seems to have gone on is that we've allowed things to sort of shrink in terms of the number of employees, but there's not been a concurrent modernization of the information management system. And it's no fault of the people that are doing the work. It's really a Commonwealth level decision on how we're going to handle data and how we're going to build management systems for this data. The original data system to track these impacts is 25 years old. It's in a software that isn't made anymore. So if you want to make a change, it's exceedingly difficult to make a change. Most of the Windows products that everybody runs, more or less, no longer are backwards compatible with these older systems. So it becomes, you know, you have a lot of impediments to making changes that would make it easier.
So is there anything that stood out to you from this five-year report that we're talking about and the previous five-year report that are notable either in a good way or that are worrying to you?
One thing we did in this reporting period is we started talking about some emergent trends. In some cases, it seems to be, for whatever reason, economically viable for the mine operators to purchase outright a lot of land above these longwall operations. And, you know, it's not a problem in and of itself, but if those things become, you know, state game lands, or they're taken out of production for agriculture or pasturing, in the long term, I'm not sure that we quite understand how it's going to impact the community. You know, when I've lived in rural areas, the closest neighbor is your best neighbor. And if there's an incentive to leave some of these areas, your best neighbor might be gone. So, I mean, I think that these overarching land use changes are not being considered carefully enough.
Thank you for talking with me.
Oh, thank you.
Daniel Bain is an assistant professor of geology and environmental science at Pitt and the lead author of the fifth report on the effects of subsidence resulting from underground bituminous coal mining in Pennsylvania. According to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, there's a move in the state legislature to make the report discretionary and to remove the requirement that it's generated by a third party like the university. According to a DEP spokesperson, the administration is opposed to any legislation that would make this report optional, because, quote, the public has a right to a full accounting of the impacts of longwall mining on water supplies and structures. But they say they're committed to working with the General Assembly on this legislation. There's more at AlleghenyFront.org. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.